This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Friday, October 19th, 2012. Yesterday, the Colorado Court of Appeals upheld a district judge ruling in favor of the Montrose Memorial Hospital Corporation, putting an end to a two-year-long battle between the hospital trustees and the county commissioners. In 2010, the hospital trustees created a nonprofit and leased the hospital and its assets to it for a term of 50 years. They said the move was necessary to protect the hospital's tax-exempt status. County commissioners were upset that they were not consulted on the lease transfer, which they characterized as selling a public asset. The county sued to block the lease and also tried to remove the trustees, several of whom were also on the hospital board. District Judge Jeff Herron ruled that the lease could proceed and it went into effect, but Commissioners Ron Henderson and David White voted to appeal the ruling. Yesterday's Court of Appeals decision upholds Judge Herron's decision. According to a release from Montrose County, while disappointed in the court's ruling, the commissioners respect the decision and continue their willingness to work with the Hospital Board of Directors as well as the Hospital Board of Trustees. The commissioners view the matter as settled and will not seek further appeals. Air resources, including heavy tankers, single-engine air tankers, and helicopters, arrived yesterday to help fight area wildfires in southwestern Colorado. The Vallecito fire is burning about 1 mile west of Vallecito Reservoir in the San Juan National Forest and has been threatening the Lake Vista Estates subdivision. The Vallecito fire is estimated at 200 to 250 acres. The Little East fire, estimated at 80 to 100 acres, is burning on private and BLM lands in the East Canyon and Cherry Creek area near the La Plata-Montezuma county line. Substantial ground crews are working both fires as well. Two single-engine air tankers helped with the Little East fire yesterday morning. The Goblin Fire above the Animas Canyon has become active again and is estimated at about 600 acres in the Weminuche Wilderness. Two U.S. Forest Service firefighters are en route to monitor the fire, which has been determined to have been started by a spark from the Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad in early October. Smoke has been visible in the afternoons north of Durango. The Crazy Creek Fire on Missionary Ridge in the San Juan National Forest is estimated at 3.5 acres, with containment expected yesterday sometime. A 5-person hotshot squad has been working on the fire, which has been determined to be lightning-caused. Meanwhile, a small wildfire, estimated at 1/4 to 1/2 acre, has been reported in the South Hope Creek area, South Hope Creek drainage, 10 miles northwest of Hermosa, in the San Juan National Forest. It is currently being monitored by AIR. Area runners made an impressive showing at Wednesday's Western Slope Regional Cross Country Races at Confluence Park in Delta. KVNF's Tammy Meck has this report.
3 out of 4 North Fork teams qualified for this year's 2A state cross country meet. Hotchkiss Juniors Natalie Anderson and Jenny Solis led the team to a first-place finish, placing 3rd and 4th, respectively. May Anderson was 6th, Sophia Shelley 8th, and Tiffany Clock finished 11th. The girls' team is on the brink of its first state championship, but after entering regionals ranked 1st last season and finishing 3rd, Anderson says they're not taking anything for granted.
We've been picked to win it all 3 years, but this is the first time we've actually followed through, to say the least. Because last year we were supposed to win it, and we barely made it out of regionals. So.
The Hotchkiss boys team finished in 2nd place behind Telluride, with Cody Bartlett placing 2nd and Andrew Tiedemann placing 8th. Kurt Katzdorn, Ty Clock, and Bryce Holm will also represent the Bulldogs at state. As a first-year team, the Paonia girls set out at the beginning of the season to do their best, but with no great expectations. But on Wednesday, the Lady Eagles proved that they are legitimate contenders. With 3 runners in the top 10, including a 5th-place finish by Taylor Polson, the Paonia girls finished in a tie for 2nd place with Telluride. Eagles Chelsea Reed and Chelsea Milner slipped past runners in the final 800 yards of the race for the tie. Mandy Bushta's 18th-place finish broke the tie, much to her surprise. Bushta says she joined the team to stay in shape for basketball and wasn't expecting to qualify.
I was just expecting to just have fun this season and enjoy it, but it's awesome that we're going to state, so I'm excited.
Telluride's Rachel Hampton beat Crested Butte Community School's Amber Scott to win the girls' division in 18 minutes 48 seconds. Jason Sturgis finished ninth and will be the only Paonia male to represent the boys' team at state. Despite a strong headwind, Sturgis ran the best race of his career. The junior says he feels good heading into state competition, where he's ranked in the top 20.
Yeah, I feel pretty good at how I finished. I mean, I did my best, so I feel very confident in what I did. So I'll just have to go up from here, I hope.
Running for Delta, Dustin Ombe placed 7th and Jonathan Kindernecht finished 13th to qualify for the boys' 4A meet. On the girls' team, Delta twins Clarissa and Cleo Whiting also qualified for state. The twins have dominated virtually every meet this season after working out a system where they decided which one would win prior to each race. But Cleo explains that on Wednesday they took a different approach.
We've decided from now on that, you know, we race our own race. That it's not really divvying it up anymore. It's if you're going to win, you just have to be faster, and that's it. There's no, well, you can win today. We're gonna race it out from now on.
The Whitings broke away from the pack at about the two-mile mark. They shadowed Durango's Shannon Maloney throughout the remainder of the course, with Clarissa finishing second overall and three-quarters of a second ahead of Cleo. Despite focusing on the finish line, Clarissa knew Cleo was on her heels.
I was hoping she might try to get right next to me because I knew that she was doing what she wanted, but she did great. We had no pressure on who was going to beat who, and that was actually the best thing we could have done.
And Clarissa says they'll keep that same attitude at the state competition.
I think we're going to run our own race because we're so close to each other anyway. We're just going to see what happens and go out with a bang.
The state meet is coming up on October 27th at Colorado Springs. Football action continues, with Norwood and Dove Creek battling for a first place in the 8-man Western Slope League tonight at Dove Creek High School. 8-man playoffs begin next week. Montrose hosts Grand Junction tonight at 7, and the annual North Fort Bowl conference game between Paonia and Hotchkiss will begin at 7 at Paonia Town Park. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Mick with your weekly sports report.
KVNF has teamed up with the Watch newspapers to bring you stories from Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties. Here's Gus Jarvis with this week's report.
This week starts a new process for advocates and opponents of the proposed Pinyon Ridge uranium mill to make their case for and against the facility, which would be located about 12 miles west of Naderita in the Paradox Valley. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment is holding a public hearing on an environmental impact assessment that will guide its decision whether to grant the mill a radioactive materials license. The department already granted Energy Fuels a license almost 2 years ago, but that license was invalidated in March when a Denver district judge ruled that the state health department failed to provide an opportunity for a public comment in accordance with a ruling from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That ruling was in response to a legal challenge filed against the state health department's radioactive materials license by several local entities. An hour-long morning conference in Nuclea on Monday marked the official starting point of the hearing process. The short meeting addressed some logistical and procedural issues in advance of the formal phase of the hearing, which will take place the second week of November. Both Telluride and San Miguel County had requested and been granted party status in the public hearing, but last week they entered into a settlement agreement with Energy Fuels that removes them as active participants in the hearing process. That settlement deals with transportation of radioactive material, financial assurances, and protection of aerial watersheds. Interested parties can submit their written comments related to the Pinyon Ridge proceeding through November 13th. In addition, there will be opportunity for members of the public to make oral comments each day of the hearing starting at 4 p.m., as well as during the entire afternoon of Monday, November 12th. The hearing will be held at the Moose Lodge in Nuclea. The Montrose County Commissioners are asking U.S. Senator Mark Udall to reconsider the Curicante National Recreation Area Boundary Establishment Act he announced last July. The draft legislation aims to establish the boundary of the Curicante National Recreation Area and formally define the National Park Service's role in managing and protecting the area. Udall says that's necessary because currently three agencies manage land within the rec area. The draft legislation would put all management of the Curacante NRA under the National Park Service without interfering with Bureau of Reclamation operations at the three dams. The draft legislation also would allow Park Service and willing landowners to work together to conserve private lands around the rec area by helping to maintain or improve wildlife habitat, water quality, natural scenery, and other resources. The commissioner's letter to Udall says they don't see a need for such legislation, and they could further infringe on public and private property rights. Udall says the legislation is in response to a 2008 environmental impact study that recommends that Congress pass legislation defining the boundaries of the park and Park Service's authority. Next summer, Ridgeway's Hartwell Park may feature a new permanent outdoor performance stage designed and built by architecture graduate students. The Ridgeway Town Council gave unanimous approval of a contract for the project with the University of Colorado Denver at their meeting last week. But the council had two conditions. The 2013 budget must provide the matching funds needed for building materials, and an amicable solution must be arrived at by the town and the university regarding housing for the students during construction in May. As outlined in the contract, the university and students will be responsible for designing and building a 300 to 500 square foot outdoor stage on the southeast corner of the park. The university anticipates the project will cost anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000, and the town has to commit $25,000 for building materials. Ridgeway Mayor John Clark says he heard about the idea from a resident who suggested that it would be a perfect way to get a permanent outdoor stage built to house the popular summer concert series. Clark says the project is an opportunity for the town to get something it might not otherwise be able to afford. One sticking point is that the town is expected to cover housing costs for the students during construction. Town Manager Jen Coates estimated those costs to be approximately $9,000 if the students had to stay in area hotels. Coates and council members are hoping other creative housing solutions can be found. If everything works out, residents can expect to give feedback on plans for the stage sometime in April. You've been listening to the Watch Weekly Report. For KVNF News and the Watch Newspaper, I'm Gus Jarvis.
Visit watchnewspapers.com for more on these stories. For our final story this morning, the hits just keep coming for Scott Gessler. The Denver Post reports the Colorado Secretary of State took what was left in his own discretionary fund in 2011 and used it to give himself a $1,400 payout, a sum that a spokesman says was for day-to-day expenses, even though Gessler submitted no receipts to explain what those costs were. Critics say the payout to the Republican Secretary of State looks a lot like a self-given bonus, and the revelation comes as two Democratic state senators are calling for an audit of Gessler's spending in response to reports he used state funds to attend the Republican National Convention this year. The $1,400 payout occurred at the close of the state's 2010-11 fiscal year, which ended in June of 2011. Gessler submitted a request to his chief financial officer for, quote, any remaining discretionary funds, unquote, which swept what Gessler had not already spent from the $5,000 fund. But unlike other requests Gessler submitted for reimbursement, there were no receipts or documentation attached to this request. Rich Coolidge, a spokesman for Gessler, said, quote, it was to cover general costs, day-to-day meals and travel, general reimbursement that weren't itemized. That was his first 6 months in office and probably still getting the hang of things. I don't know why they weren't itemized. End quote. Coolidge compared it to state legislators per diem, saying, quote, they just have to show up to work and they get that dollar amount. And said Gessler likely had even more in unreimbursed costs. State Senators Pat Stedman, a Democrat from Denver, and Lois Totstrup, a Democrat from Thornton, have sent a letter to the Legislative Audit Committee requesting a state audit of Gessler's expenditures. However, State Representative Cindy Acree, Republican from Aurora, and the committee chairwoman, has delayed consideration of the request until December. And this concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.